Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Enjoy the winter decor because it's going in the next week and a half or so. So enjoy the last bit of it because we're going to be ushering spring into the background now that we are under the big thaw here, it seems, in New York. So hello to everybody jumping on. We're going to say hi to some people as those have been notified we're going live are jumping on right now. I see Michigan and Northern New York. God bless you both. Hello to our neighbors in New York as well. Clearfield, Pennsylvania. God bless you. And Bucks County, Pennsylvania as well. Hello and God bless you. Greenfield, Indiana. Jupiter, Florida. Shalom to you in Kentucky. God bless all of you as well. Let's see who else is coming on tonight. Denham Springs, Louisiana, Phoenix, Arizona, Tidewater, Virginia. God bless all of you. Thank you for coming on. Las Vegas, as well, and Pensacola, Florida, and Kapolei, Hawaii. God bless all of you. Hello to our viewers in Hawaii who are watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. I see Tucson, Arizona, California. God bless you as well. Toronto, Canada. Hello to all of our Canadian viewers who are growing in leaps and bounds. We're very happy to have you coming on with us tonight. Very excited for you to be here. Northwest Pennsylvania, Fort Wayne, Indiana. God bless you as well as Chicago. I got to say, Chicago, I know I'm Italian. I'm from the city. But I like deep dish pizza as well. So I'm not that type of person that is just like completely to the Napolitan side of pizza. But I do like the deep dish as well. So hello to you. St. Joseph, Missouri. Buffalo, New York. God bless you both. Hello to our neighbors in New York. Very happy to have you with us. New Orleans. God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. And Brownwood, Texas. Hello to all of our Texas viewers. We have a very large audience in Texas that watches. We have people on our staff even from Texas. So God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Honolulu, Hawaii, God bless you. Hello to you, Eileen, in England. Hello to our international audience that are coming in now to watch us. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. God bless you. Oh, Perth, Australia. Hello to our friends across the globe in Australia. Very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. I see Troy, Missouri, New Sharon, Iowa, Mount Hope, West Virginia as well. God bless all of you. Fairbanks, Alaska. Hello to our viewers in Alaska. Very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. And our neighbors in New Jersey. I see you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. Snellville, Georgia as well. And I'll do a few more. Ohio State, New Mexico, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Georgia. God bless all of you who are on tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team that's on. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So as usual, I'm going to open up in prayer. Public service announcement. We are under a ladybug invasion here in the Hudson Valley. I've got some on my keyboard. I've got them all over the lights right now. So you may see them buzzing. We have been trying to get them out all day. This happens every year. And so a exodus of ladybugs have come to Ark of Grace. And so we have been trying to help them all day get back outside. Just saw New Zealand come in. Hello to our wonderful friends in New Zealand watching. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord. Let me tell you, we have some things to talk about tonight that your jaw is going to drop when I go into, especially 2027. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be powerful and incredible when we go into that. We are on the eve of Passover as well. Passover begins tomorrow at sundown. So this is the eve before Passover, in a way, the calm before the storm. So we will open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and then we will get into tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come boldly but humbly before the throne of grace, Father God, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short, Father. Lord, we praise you that your mercies are new every single day, that every day you renew your covenant with us, Father God. And Father, we acknowledge you sent your son Jesus Christ to the earth, the Pesach Lamb, the Passover Lamb. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers. He paid the price in full as the blood dripped onto the mercy seat. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to take his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place, Father God. Lord, we welcome your presence in to saturate the atmosphere, Father, that your power, your might, your glory, the holiness of who you are, the weight of conviction, Father, of who you are, would mightily go forth tonight, Father, that the Holy Spirit would be the counselor and minister to those watching, that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would come back to their shepherd, Father. We pray that tonight, Father God. Your word says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you go before us tonight. You be our front and rear guard. Father, order our steps. Order my words, Father, as we mightily go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow us and our team, Lord, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above, below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we put the whole and complete armor of God on this day. We command the shield of faith to go up in the name of Jesus Christ to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Every arrow being fired at us by the enemy and his agents, let be reversed upon the senders now in Jesus' name. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we destroy every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, snare, demonic conspiracy, embargo, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, witchcraft, spell, incantation, enchantment of any kind and any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us, and command it's dismantled and destroyed by the holy fire of God, torn down and scattered and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ, to not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself, Father. You are our deliverer, our strong tower. You are our healer. You are our banner. You are our righteousness, Father God. You are the God that delivers. You are the God that delivered your people. You are the God that weighs the matter of men and nations on your throne. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just. You are our shepherd, Father God, and we praise you for that, Lord. Father, take all the glory for yourself tonight. You are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. We owe you every breath, Father God. We bless your holy name with that breath, Father God. The holiness of who you are. There is none like you. There is none that could ever match you, Lord. And we hand this over to you tonight, Lord. We praise you. We thank you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. Thrilled to have you come on with us tonight. We have a lot to get into. First of all, if you could share this broadcast and like and subscribe. We would very much appreciate it. It does help us, and we are very grateful for it. And so we just thank you in advance for that amazing help. Okay, so this is the eve of Passover, guys, and we're going to get into some things tonight that are very layered, that are not only talking about Passover and what is biblically aligning for Passover, which is wild when I get into what I'm about to tell you, but 2027. There is something percolating in 2027 that is going to culminate, it appears, in August of 2027. And I want to go over it with you now and start warning now and sounding the alarm now for it. So we're going to get into all of that tonight. I want to start in the book of Exodus because we're going to start here and we're going to work our way forward. So Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will not only let them go, but under compulsion he will drive them out of his land." Then God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as strangers." And verse 5, "And I have also heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have faithfully remembered my covenant." The Lord hears the groanings of those who are enslaved, and he heard the groanings of the people of Venezuela and the people of Iran, and you're going to see other nations come forth soon. And this is the Lord establishing what he is about to do to Pharaoh, that under compulsion he's going to force Pharaoh to let his people go. Exodus chapter 14, verse 26, which is interesting because 14 plus 26 equals 40, and 40 biblically is judgment. And the verse says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians on their war chariots and their charioteers.'" So this is when they had crossed, and the Lord is saying to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea. I'm going to bring it back on to Pharaoh and his army. I'm going to bring judgment on them right here at the Red Sea. I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to deliver my people." Now, why did he do that? I'm going to show you something fascinating that you may have not heard before about why God did this the way he did. It's important for what's happening today. It's an important what happened in Iran when they led a statue of Baal out and set it on fire before the Ayatollah's court fell. So it applies to what we're watching happen within the earth. But let me tell you this, because this is fascinating. When God leads the Israelites out from Egypt, he doesn't lead them by way of the Philistines because they would have been afraid of a fight because they were slaves at that point. God might have taken the people out of Egypt, but then he had to take Egypt out of the people. They were still slaves. They were not trained up as warriors at that point. So the Lord leads them between two mountains at Pi Hahiroth, penned up against the Red Sea, opposite a place called Baal Zephon, which is specifically mentioned in Scripture, Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon was literally a place named for the creation myth. What does that mean? Well, the myth goes in Canaanite mythology that Baal dwelled on Mount Zephon, according to this Canaanite mythology, and what they believed about Baal is that he came to power by going to war against a tyrant god called Yam, Y-A-M-M, who happened to be depicted as a sea serpent, false god, probably similar to Leviathan. And Baal smashes this serpent god in the head, splits apart the body, and then uses that to form other things. But Baal becomes the chief god by defeating the sea. So Baal becomes the chief god by defeating the god of the sea and ripping him apart on top of it. So for the Lord to defeat Baal before all of Egypt and Israel, he would have to defeat him in the way in which he gained his power. So when God takes his people to Baal Zephon, what does the Lord literally do there? He is going to take the actual literal Red Sea, which, by the way, the Hebrew word for sea is Yam, Y-A-M, very similar to the spelling of that serpent god of the sea, Y-A-M-M. So he's going to take the sea, which is the Hebrew word Yam, and the Lord rips the sea apart to demonstrate before all he is far greater than Baal. And it's a demonstration, just as he humiliated all of Egypt's gods through the 10 plagues, the Lord knows the promised land he is taking them to, which is Canaan, that the Canaanite territory is where Baal rules supreme, and the Lord wants the Israelites to see it, to see it is not Baal that is the chief god, but I, the Lord Almighty, am the chief god. It's also putting the Canaanites on notice for what happened. So basically, God defeating Baal at the sea, in the same way Baal gained his power, was now putting the Canaanites on notice that there is a God in Israel, and there's Almighty God above this earth that is far greater than Baal, and that Egypt, the superpower of the world, was defeated and broken at Baal Siphon. So at the Red Sea, the Lord was calling out Baal, putting Baal on notice, making a spectacle of Baal by splitting the sea apart, delivering the people of God, which will then get back to the Canaanites in their territory, that another god, the God of the Israelites, humiliated Baal at Baal Siphon by doing even greater than what Baal could do. That is why Almighty God took them to Baal Siphon, took them to that area, and ripped the sea apart, because it was about putting the Canaanites on notice and humiliating Baal at the very place they believed him to reign supreme, which was at the sea. This is why Almighty God did this in the way that he did. Now, as well, isn't it interesting that Exodus chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, 9-11 says, the Egyptians chased them with all the horses and war chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Siphon. So verses 9 through 11 in Exodus 14 specifically mentions the Egyptians chasing Israel to Baal Siphon. That's verse 9. Now verse 10 says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, then they said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What is this that you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? That is Exodus 14, verses 9 to 11, and it's the alarm and panic at Baal Siphon, as the Israelites are panicking because they see the Egyptian army closing in, and they think they've been brought out there to die, but Almighty God has brought them to the sea in order to rip it apart in an alarm of his own and defeat Baal at the very place where they believe he gained his power. Baal Siphon was Egypt and Baal's 9-11. And it was a wake-up call to Israel about who Almighty God truly was, and that he is capable in power and might far above any other god. Now, Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent and remain calm. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Now, what's interesting about these scriptures, Exodus 14, 13, if you add that together, you get 27 for 2027. Then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14, 14, when you add that, that equals 28, which is our next election. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. I don't think that's any accident, given what's going on in the earth right now. Now, getting into Passover, this is where we're going to get into some interesting global stuff prophetically, going all the way into 2027. Passover this year is April 1st at sundown to April 9th. Now, what's so fascinating about this year of all years, Passover comes early. Comes early. It's normally in the middle of April. Passover comes early this year. And April 4th to 5th and April 4th to 7th both fall within this year's Passover, right? 4 to 5th, 45, 4 to 7, 47, which happen to be both of Donald Trump's presidencies, and he happens to be the president when Passover is falling early, and this is happening. Because President Trump's two presidencies as well equal 9-11, 4 plus 5 is 9, 4 plus 7 is 11, and both happen to fall within the dates of this Passover. Now, why is that important for what's going on? And that's interesting. April 1st is April Fool's Day, so that's interesting that those two are coinciding as well. Smack in the middle of Passover, and I mean right in the middle of it, is when President Trump's 10-day pause of attacking Iran's energy infrastructure ends on April 5th. So the 10-day pause President Trump put in place for talks and smack in the middle of Passover on April 5th, which means April 4th to 7th, especially 4-7-47, there is a great possibility for Iran's energy infrastructure to be attacked, hit, and dismantled, plunging Iran into darkness as Egypt was so plunged into darkness at Passover. Now, let's show you this. I'm going to prove this to you. So we have a news article for you. Iranian outlet threatens regional blackout after Trump ultimatum. After Donald Trump gave the Islamic Republic 48 hours to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and warned Iranian power plants could be targeted, Mayor News Agency threatened that even a limited strike on Iran's electricity infrastructure would plunge the entire region into darkness. The outlet wrote, "Say goodbye to electricity," and said that with the smallest attack on the Islamic Republic's power infrastructure, the entire region will fall into darkness. Now, to prove this to you, let's go to Exodus 10, verses 23 through 24. 23 plus 24 happens to be 47, which is the presidency we're in. Exodus 10, 23 through 24 says, "The Egyptians could not see one another, nor did anyone leave his place for 3 days, but all the Israelites had supernatural light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, 'Go serve the Lord. Only your flocks and your herds must be left behind. Even your children may go with you.'" Darkness was the ninth plague on Egypt. Passover ends this year, April 9th. President Trump's 10-day pause on attacking the energy infrastructure of Iran and smack in the middle of Passover, which means anywhere from April 4th to the 7th or 4th to the 8th, there is a very good possibility that we may see Iran on Passover that ends April 9th be plunged into total darkness as Egypt was plunged into total darkness on Passover. You cannot make this up. The way this is aligning, you can't make it up. The way this is aligning is biblical. Now, I had warned that if we saw a modern day Purim event align this year, which we did, we watched Purim happen in Iran with the fall of the Ayatollah, that it was very prophetically likely that we were going to see modern events align with Passover in Exodus. As well, that this was the year we were going to see the modern alignment of the biblical Purim and the biblical Passover. And that is what we're watching. Now, I'm calling this the Purim to Passover war because this war has stemmed, or this conflict between the U.S., Iran, and Israel has run the gamut. between Purim and Passover. And as we saw right before Purim, events that biblically align with the book of Esther and cast a prophetic timeline, and Purim being marked by a blood moon, and that's when Iran fell. The book of Esther is based in Iran. It's shaping up that we shall see the same during Passover, events that occur that align with the book of Exodus. And during Passover, like I said, Iran may be plunged into total darkness. Passover ends April 9th. The ninth plague on Egypt in the book of Exodus was total darkness. So we're watching these biblical alignments begin to come into the realm of possibility when it comes to Passover and Exodus. In fact, I will tell you, in the book I wrote, Brace for Impact, which we'll talk about at the end, it's coming out April 7th, chapter 2. Now, keep in mind, I wrote this book last June to October. I wrote this book June 2025 to October 2025. Chapter 2 of that book, I started talking about the ninth plague of darkness over Egypt, prophetically speaking, for what was coming. And in that part of the chapter, there was a word that was given March 17th, 2025. Word of the Lord. And it said, Iran is about to be shaken from the ground and the skies. The one who has held the seat for decades is about to fall from their high position. The plots with other communist nations have brought further charges before the throne of God. After such a shaking, hostages in Iran will be released. Just as Egypt was broken at Passover. Now listen to this last sentence in this word of the Lord. Just as Egypt was broken at Passover, so shall Iran be, for their crimes are great, and the time of the fullness of their blasphemy has come. The Ayatollah's court shall be sifted. The head of ISIS in Iraq and Syria falling on Purim was the Lord putting all Arab nations on notice of what is to come in this season. The hunter shall become the hunted. That was March 17th, 2025. Just as Egypt was broken at Passover, so shall Iran be, for their crimes are great, and the time of the fullness of their blasphemy has come. And Trump's 10-day pause on attacking the energy infrastructure and smack in the middle of Passover. This is biblically and prophetically aligning in this time. Now, also interesting, we're going to go to the New Testament, something to do with Passover that we have to keep a lookout for in this year as well. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had finished this discourse, he said to his disciples, "You know that the Passover is coming in 2 days, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed and handed over for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the courtyard of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, it must not be done during the festival, which is Passover. Otherwise, there might be a riot among the people." What just happened this past weekend, right before Passover, across America? No King's protest. Rioting. People are rioting in 2026. This is Matthew 26. Now, why is this important? Well, I want to read to you Matthew 26, 47, and you're going to understand where I'm going with this, right? Because it is the year 2026. We're in the 47th presidency. Matthew 26, 47 says, "As Jesus was still speaking, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people." Matthew 26, 47 begins to give the scene for Judas, one of Jesus's 12 disciples, coming to betray him at that moment, right? And this is Matthew 26, 47. Betrayal, 2026, within the presidency. Matthew 26, 47, I'm telling you, it's the year of betrayal around the president. It is the year we saw it start with Joe Kent. We are watching it, who was the chief of counterterrorism, Matthew 26:47 has to do with a spirit of betrayal that's moving about. Am I saying President Trump is Jesus? Absolutely not. There is none like Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is we're watching around the time of Passover, scriptures begin to biblically align and come into play with what is happening within our nation and the nations of the earth. 2026, betrayal around the presidency and the president. I'm telling you, we're going to watch this unfold even further and even deeper. And it was around the time of Passover. This betrayal from Judas in Matthew 26:47 takes place right around the time of Passover. I'm telling you, we're going to watch this. I'm telling you, we're going to watch this unfold. I'm telling you, 2026, betrayal around the high leadership in this land. I also believe we will see it with Middle Eastern nations connected biblically. We will see betrayal. I believe we're also going to see it around Netanyahu. I believe this is going to run in tandem here. It's gone out. It's gone out into the earth. I'm telling you. This is the year of that. Okay, let's move on because we have a lot to cover here. Okay, now, interestingly enough, Passover 2027 is late. It occurs April 21st to April 29th. Passover 2027, within its dates, contains all the years, not only of President Trump's presidency, right, 25, 26, 27, but it contains the year of the 2028 election as well, because it's April 21st to the 29th. It also contains 2026 and 2027. So it'll be aligning with next year's year. Now, Passover 2028, the year of our next election is April 10th to the 18th, which is interesting because 10 plus 18 equals 28. So that Passover, in a way, is aligning with that year as well. Now, why is this important? Because something happens in the midst of this that we need to talk about. We need to talk about August 2027. Why? August 2nd, 2027. Now, let me preface this by saying 2027 is going to be a Jewish leap year, otherwise known as a pregnant year. So let's look at it. 2025, Purim blood moon. 2026, Purim blood moon. 2027, Jewish leap year, known as a pregnant year, where you have Adar 1 and Adar 2, you have two Purims. You have Purim Katan, little Purim, and Purim, which means double decrees of destruction going out, and then double divine reversals in order to tear those decrees of destruction down. So you have Purim, blood moon, double Purim is the way the years are going. Within that year, that Jewish leap year, something is happening. Within that pregnant year, August 2nd, 2027, is a full solar eclipse. Totality will commence over the Eastern Atlantic Ocean and travel across the Strait of Gibraltar, and it is going to hit Spain, parts of the Middle East, and North Africa. Why is this important? Spain through the Middle East to North Africa. Guess which city is in the path of totality of the eclipse. You ready for this? In the path of totality of this eclipse is Benghazi, Libya. Remember Benghazi from September 11th, 2012? In the path of this eclipse on a Jewish pregnant year with double Purims, in the path of totality is Benghazi. Also in the path of totality is Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, the holiest site in the Islamic faith. Luxor in central Egypt is also in the path of totality. I'm telling you, Egypt is going to rise in this next year. We're going to watch some incredible events out of Egypt. But within the path of totality is Benghazi. I don't think this is an accident. Within the path of totality is Mecca, the holiest site for Islam, amongst other cities as well. Now, think about this for a minute. The Clintons were brought before a closed hearing. Bill Clinton testified about Epstein on February 27th, 2026, a day before the Ayatollah fell, and Hillary Clinton testified on February 26, 2026. Okay, so they testify February 26th, Hillary Clinton, February 27th, Bill Clinton, 2026. Bill Clinton testifies February 27th, and in 2027, there is a full solar eclipse over the Middle East and North Africa in which Benghazi is in the path of totality. You can't make this up. Benghazi was September 11th, 9/11, 2012. This eclipse is coming 15 years after Benghazi. About a month before September 11th on our calendar, we're watching this eclipse happen in early August. Also, like I said, this eclipse, Mecca, Saudi Arabia, is in the path of totality as well. Mecca is the holiest city of Islam, and it will be plunged into darkness along with Benghazi. This is the longest eclipse that is set to occur in 100 years. It's lasting over 6 minutes. So as Islam rises in the world, and we are watching these events take place, in 2027, darkness will occur over its holiest site for over 6 minutes. Darkness will occur over Benghazi, Libya, for over 6 minutes. Six is the number of man, biblically speaking. Six is the number of man. So this is the longest eclipse in 100 years. It's happening in 2027 on a Jewish leap year known as a pregnant year. When it is happening, you've got Benghazi and Mecca being plunged into total darkness. So if you think about it, Benghazi, Mecca, darkness, Islam, the year before the 2028 election, and the year before a Shemitah year in the United States of America. 2028 is a Shemitah year. It takes 7 years to make a Shemitah year on the Jewish calendar. It takes seven Shemitahs to make a Jubilee, which is 50 years. The maximum duration, this is also interesting. The maximum duration of totality will be observed in Egypt and will last 6 minutes and 22 seconds. Egypt, the place where Passover occurs. Egypt, where Almighty God calls out Baal at a place called Baal Zephon and at the Red Sea and rips the sea apart and makes a spectacle of Baal and defeats the superpower of the world. That is where the maximum totality of darkness is going to take place. Now, Rosh Hashanah 2028 begins September 20th, 2028 to September 22nd, 2028. Why is this important? There are exactly, let me think about this for a minute. Rosh Hashanah, let me see. I think it's 2027. I'm going to look it up real fast, real time, because we want to get this right. Rosh Hashanah 2027. All right, let's see what we come up with. I want to see when it begins. Rosh Hashanah 2027 happens to begin Friday, October 1st, and then Sunday, October 3rd, just in case anyone is wondering. Just in case anyone is wondering, that's what it is. Now, I believe, yes, so Rosh Hashanah 2027 begins Friday, October 1st, and ends at nightfall on Sunday, October 3rd. There are exactly 60 days, I believe, between the eclipse of 2027 on August 2nd and Rosh Hashanah 2027. I believe there is around 60 days. It is a 6-minute eclipse, and 60 days then separates that 6-minute eclipse from the Feast of Trumpets that year. Now, that was just something a little extra there that I wanted to give you as far as dates. However, I'm telling you, you need to watch the Saudi royal family and that city of Mecca and Benghazi leading up to this eclipse, as well as what will happen to the leadership in Spain and Egypt, and what will come out of it that will arise in the year of 2028 and our election. Because the way this is aligning and the way this is looking, there we are watching darkness literally come over the land and the area where it was plunged into darkness during Passover. So this year, it looks like Iran may be plunged into darkness on Passover. Next year, it looks like Egypt, Benghazi, Mecca, for 6 minutes, are all going to be plunged into darkness in a Jewish leap year. Now, watching the way this is unfolding, we have to pay attention to what the Lord is sounding an alarm about, and we are seeing from this. We are watching Islam on the rise. We are watching a mayor in New York City who is Muslim come to power between two blood moons marked that were marked by Purim 2025 and Purim 2026. We are now watching, coming in 2027, after this is on the rise, not only in this nation and in New York, but in Europe, in England, and the nations of the earth, their holiest site will now be plunged into darkness. You see, that is prophetic. Benghazi, after what happened, will be plunged into darkness. And so we have to start paying attention to this now and praying and seeking what the Lord is trying to tell us through this, because this is no accident. This is aligning the way it is. Why would Mecca be plunged into darkness on a Jewish leap year known as a pregnant year that gives birth to a Shemitah year in 2028? Last broadcast, I had warned the Ishmaelites are going to try to steal the election. You're going to see darkness try to come in. The Ishmaelites will try to steal the election because we're coming in the 20-year prophetic cycle in the 2028 election of 2008, which was an election year, a Shemitah year, and the rise of Barack Obama. We're coming into, after this eclipse, the following year, 2028, Shemitah year, election year. It is mirroring 2008. Global banking crisis as well. 2008 on a Shemitah year. I'm telling you, it's going to try to mirror it in this 20-year cycle. Now, let me show you some other things that are happening right now on the eve of Passover. We're going to, if we have this article to put up, I believe this is just the beginning of the avalanche. This is happening on the eve of Passover as well. Useful Puppet Eric Swalwell in the hot seat after traveling to Doha on several Qatar-sponsored trips. This is what it says. Steve Hilton said he is sick of all these corrupt career politicians being bribed by foreign governments. California gubernatorial hopeful Representative Eric Swalwell, Democrat from California, took at least six trips, there's that number six again, to Doha, backed by Qatar-linked sponsors from 2020 to 2024, extending a pattern of foreign-funded travel that previously drew criticism, according to House filings reviewed by Fox News Digital. The disclosures show Swalwell returned to Qatar repeatedly over multiple years, even after he was slammed for taking an $84,000 trip with a few other lawmakers to the Gulf Emirates in 2021, sponsored by the U.S. Qatar Business Council. In addition to that trip, filings from the House of Representatives clerk show Swalwell also went to Doha in 2020, twice in 2022, and once in 2023, and once in 2024, with the trip sponsored by either the Embassy of Qatar or the U.S. Qatar Business Council. Why is this important on the eve of Passover? Because this is the beginning of the dam breaking with this. This is the beginning of the dam giving way. Now, let me read to you the word of the Lord from August 25th, 2025, and you'll see why I'm putting this in here now. Sandcastles within Congress and Parliament, all the way to Qatar. What does the first sentence say? August 25th, 2025, word of the Lord. Sandcastles within Congress and Parliament, all the way to Qatar and Dubai, says the Lord. Those sandcastles in this season, in this time, are set to be hit by crushing waves of truth, of holiness, of exposure. These waves are cresting my children, and they are about to come down upon the foolish men and women who have built up their names, their titles, their leadership upon sand, says the Lord. For the sand of the Middle East shall spill out of the bank accounts of prominent and known figures in your nation, says the Lord. The forensics have gone out to hunt, says the Lord, and the sand from the Middle East and sheiks and leaders and princes alike shall spill out of such accounts, says the Lord. Sand gets into everything, says the Lord. Its small particles can infiltrate whatever it fills, says the Lord. It takes water capital to cleanse such and wash it away, says the Lord. A forceful current, says the Lord. Now, it's interesting, water is capitalized because this is setting up, by the time this is done, to be greater than Watergate. This is setting up by the time the dam breaks and all the sand and all the bank accounts and all the players, it is set to be greater than Watergate. Okay, now, something else interesting going on. I want to show you this because it testifies prophetically. When you come into a time, you start seeing it appear in the most interesting ways in the media. So we're going to put this article up for you, and then we're going to go to something very interesting about Pakistan getting in the middle of this whole negotiations, because there's something more to that too. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon sits down with Fox and Friends on the economy exodus from blue states. On the eve of Passover, this is their title. Okay. Jamie Dimon sounded off on high taxes and poor quality of life being major factors in the exodus of people and businesses from blue states. I tell people everyone's got to compete, including cities. And for a city to compete, of course, it's quality of life. It's your subways. It's your hospitals, Dimon said. But it's also individual taxes, state taxes, corporate taxes, and it drives people out, he continued. Dimon compared blue states and red states, saying, all you have to do is look at California versus Nevada and New York versus Florida. There's a huge exodus taking place, he said. It's not good for the city. On the eve of Passover, this article comes out in Fox News where all you hear is huge exodus, 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 huge exodus. This is what begins to happen when something is on the move, spiritually speaking, within the earth. Now, interestingly enough, this gentleman's last name, Dimon, D-I-M-O-N, means where it is red in Hebrew and is associated with themes of judgment and divine wrath in the Bible. So on the eve of Passover, a man whose name is associated with judgment and divine wrath talks about Exodus and Exodus to Fox News Digital. I don't think that's an accident. I think these things align, for you start to see them cluster when you begin to see things spiritually align and come into the natural. You start to see this cluster beginning to form of a common theme. So just keep that in mind also, and keep in mind the fact that this man is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. Because I believe you're going to see some very interesting developments come with JP Morgan Chase in this season. Okay, now let's go to the next article. This is very interesting when it comes to what I'm about to tell you about Pakistan. Iranian operative convicted in 2024 plot to kill President Trump. Now, this was from March 9th, but you'll understand in a moment why I'm taking you back to this. March 9th, 2026. A federal jury has convicted an Iranian operative of taking part in a terrorism attempt and plot to assassinate President Donald Trump in 2024, well before the war with Iran. Asif Merchant. You can really spell his name and say as if Merchant, which is very interesting. Asif Merchant, a Pakistani national, also known as Asif Raza Merchant, was found guilty of murder for hire and attempting to commit an act of terrorism transcending national boundaries. Merchant, 47, so the man who's 47 attempted to take out number 47. Okay, Merchant 47 was trained by Iran's global terrorist force, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So this conviction happens March 9th, 2026. This happens in the window between Purim and Passover. This comes out and this conviction. I already said he's 47 and we're in the 47th presidency. So the man that attempted to do this is 47 years old and we're in the 47th presidency. His first name is Asif, or as if, A-S-I-F. Now, what's very strange about this is backwards his name is Faiza. Backwards his name is Faiza, as in like Faiza Court. Remember, that was caught up in all what happened with Strzok and Page and Obama and everything that happened there. So backwards, his name is Faiza. So I'm going to say this. Scandal with the Faiza court is coming, or an unveiling and unearthing of what has been buried and locked away in that court is coming. I'm going to say that. However, what's more important here as well is that this man was Pakistani. He was trained by the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, but he's Pakistani. What nation suddenly, in the middle between Purim and Passover, on the eve of Passover, what nation has now suddenly stepped in the middle of the Iran-US-Israel conflict and offered to be the intermediary? Pakistan. What are the odds that after a Pakistani man trained by the IRGC is convicted of a plot to harm President Trump that suddenly Pakistan would step in and offer to host talks and be the go-between? What are the odds? We're going to put up the article now to show you. This is no accident, I'm telling you. Pakistan says it will host U.S.-Iran talks while Iran warns U.S. ground troops would be, quote, set on fire. Well, they did it to bail and it didn't end too well for them. So I would suggest they don't set anything on fire right now. And they just, come to their senses. Okay. This is in Islamabad. Pakistan announced Sunday that it would soon host talks between the U.S. and Iran, though there was no immediate word for Washington or Tehran or from Washington or Tehran, and it was unclear whether discussions on the month-long war would be direct or indirect. Pakistan is very happy that both Iran and the U.S. have expressed their confidence in Pakistan to facilitate the talks. Pakistan will be honored to host and facilitate meaningful talks between the two sides in the coming days, Foreign Minister Ishaq Dar said after top diplomats from, the cast of characters here, Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia met in Islamabad. Now, here comes Egypt, right before Passover. Here comes Egypt traipsing into the middle of this war. Here comes Egypt beginning to go on the rise. Remember that eclipse of 2027 that I just told you about? Well, Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and Luxor, Egypt, happen to be in the path of totality, and these are the two of the three nations that are mentioned in coming in to help host these talks as within Pakistan as well as Turkey. You got to watch Turkey in the middle of this and what they're going to do. I'm telling you, they see an opportunity, they're going to take it. You have to watch Turkey in the middle of this. But Pakistan, on the eve of Passover, in this time between Purim and Passover, this Pakistani man gets convicted of attempting a plot to harm President Trump, and he was trained by the IRGC. And now, within that same window of Purim to Passover, what happens? Pakistan rises up and gets in the middle of this and goes, oh, we'll host these talks. We'll do this for you. We want to be part of it. We want to get into it. We want to help facilitate. We want to... Now, remember I had warned about a meeting that President Trump was going to be asked to go to associated with the book of Nehemiah and how they were setting an ambush for Nehemiah, and it was the Arabs that got together and decided they were going to try to harm Nehemiah, so they set up a meeting to come facilitate between them all about the building of what Nehemiah was doing with the Jewish people. And it was an ambush, and the Lord warned Nehemiah, and he didn't go to that meeting. Remember I started talking about this? The fact Pakistan steps into the middle of this after this Pakistani man was convicted, I am telling you, is something very unsettling in the spirit about it. And President Trump is a builder. And Nehemiah was building. And what did he say to them? No, I can't come right now. I'm too busy building what God is having me build. That was his reason for not going when he discerned of the Lord. It was an ambush. I'm telling you right now, there is something on the move in the spirit with this. There is something on the move in the spirit that within the window between Purim and Passover, this Pakistani man, trained by the IRGC, Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, is convicted of attempting to harm President Trump. And within the same window, Pakistan comes to the forefront and says, we are going to be the intermediaries and host the talks between Iran and the U.S. And they have risen in the window between Purim and Passover. We've got Arabs getting together to set a meeting that they're asking a builder to come to. This is the scene. Very similar to what happened in the book of Nehemiah. They are literally, it has the air of the same issue. I would go to that meeting by Zoom if I were the president. I would not, right now, go anywhere near that part of the world when Pakistan has stepped in after this man has been convicted. I'm telling you, there is something on the move in the spirit here with this. There is something on the move between Purim and Passover with this. There's a reason this is rising now. There's a reason this is coming to the forefront now. I would not go anywhere near that meeting. Now, let me see if I can find it in Nehemiah quick, because I want to read it to you. Okay, I want to be able to, an ambush is set for, I think the broadcast was called Nehemiah and the Enemy from Within. Nehemiah 6, isn't that interesting? There's the number 6 again. Nehemiah 6. Let's go to Nehemiah 6. Okay, the Enemy's Plot is what it's called. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although at the time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent word to me saying, come, let us meet together at Chepharim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you? They sent word to me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same way the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. Verse 6, we're in the year 2026. In it was written, it is reported among the neighboring nations, and Geshem is saying that you and the Jews are planning to revolt, and that is the reason you are rebuilding the wall. And according to these reports, you are to be their king. That is the account. And if you go to verse 10, Nehemiah 6, verse 10 says, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, let us meet and take refuge together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, because they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. Now, it's interesting, because this is within verses 9 through 11. This is verse 10, verse 11. But I said, should a man like me flee in fear and hide? Should someone like me enter the temple for sanctuary to save his life? I will not go. That is the account in Nehemiah chapter 6. And this has an air of the meeting being set here. To me, of a type of ambush. This has a component to it that is very unsettling. This has a component where Pakistan is all too eager to get in the middle of this and facilitate the meeting amongst the other Arabs and Middle Eastern leaders and bring the United States and Israel into it. And I believe it might be just the U.S. meeting with them, which is even more unsettling in a way, because now you have this component of this man who was Pakistani that wanted to ambush President Trump. And now within the same window of Purim to Passover, you have Pakistan coming to the forefront with who? Egypt, Passover, and Saudi Arabia, where there's Mecca. So I'm telling you, the way this is shaping up, we need to intercede and pray for this and for this meeting and for the true motive of Pakistan to be exposed if they are involved in an unsavory alignment in order to try to bring an ambush. That is what we need to pray. There is something not right here. There is something not right about the motive. Motive matters to God. And there is something very wrong with the motives with these nations that are coming to the table in the time they're coming. They're coming at Passover. They're saying at Passover, come, let us reason together. Come to the table. Now, Almighty God does not negotiate when it comes to his word, his holiness, his rule of law, his word. And the fact this is all shaping up around Passover, and then while they're trying to have this meeting, within smack of the middle of Passover, the 10-day pause on attacking Iran's energy infrastructure comes to a close. You're watching a convergence of these two things at once. So I'm telling you, pray and watch and intercede when it comes to this, because there is something quite sinister about the way this has arisen in this time. So please, I'll just encourage you to do that as well, because when we intercede and pray, Passover is April 1st to the 9th. When we intercede and pray, we are going before the throne of God to receive the spiritual intelligence from his throne to reveal unto us what we cannot see, or what we sense but cannot see, to reveal that information to us. So then we take it with precision and we pray into the vein of that situation in order to tear down the plot, the scheme, the contract, the assignment, the stronghold. So this is why I would implore you to do that in this time. In this time, it is so important to do that. And in this time, the Passover is very important. The Passover has gravity every year. This Passover this year is crucial. It is weighty. It is serious. And it is aligning biblically with the book of Exodus. That's what seems to be shaping up from this. Now, speaking of Passover, our live Passover Seder is going to be at 6 p.m. April 2nd. So we have on arcofgrace.org/events all the information. We have a shopping list for you. You can go by and there's instructions how to prepare the Seder. You can prepare it and we will do the Passover Seder together live this Thursday, April 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I implore you to join us to take part in that. Even if you can't prepare the Seder, come and take part in it with us, because it is a crucial, biblical, appointed time within the earth. And I believe the weight and gravity of what is going to happen around Passover is going to equal, if not surpass, the weight and gravity of what we saw happen around Purim with the fall of the Ayatollah. So please come and join us April 2nd, 6 p.m., live Seder here on Ark of Grace Ministries. Also, brace for impact. I talk about some of what we are seeing unfold now in the book Brace for Impact. It is available April 7th, 2026. It'll be everywhere books are sold. You can pre-order it now. If you go to arcofgrace.org, scroll down the front page, you will see the picture on the screen and you can click pre-order now and pre-order it from Amazon. We hit number one in the category of Pentecostal and Christian, praise God, but it is five rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point, and it goes all the way to 2028. And actually, I can show it to you because Charisma sent it to me today. I thank Charisma for that. So here's the book. This is what it's going to look like when you get it. And truly, in this time, it is Brace for Impact. Yes, I'm looking very forward to the Seder as well. Also, we have a prayer line, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Prayer warriors are waiting to pray with you. Please call one of the phone numbers here. It's a free service. We're happy to be able to offer this to you. And so please take these numbers down. Utilize the prayer line, as well as our social media handles. We are verified now on some of social media. So Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Ark of Grace Ministries, Telegram, Ark of Grace News, Truth Social, Ark of Grace Ministries, Facebook, we are verified now, Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. We have the blue check. Instagram is Ark of Grace 88 and X is @AmandaGrace_AOG. We are verified there as well. We also have our Sanctuary social media, which is Ark of Grace Sanctuary, on TikTok, Facebook, and we have an Instagram account now. You can follow to get all the happenings at the Ark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Couple more things and we're going to end for the evening. We're going to wind this down and land this plane. We're going to put Givaderm up for a second. I'm going to show you guys one day. I'm going to film how I use the whole Givaderm system for you. And we'll put that out. But this is an incredible skincare line run by women who absolutely love the Lord. It is all natural. It is food for your face. It actually works. And it is wonderful for your skin. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put in it and on the outside of it. So I use Givaderm. My husband, Chris, also uses Givaderm. I use their system. It is absolutely amazing. The uplift and the eye cream, especially, I absolutely love, as well as the rest of their products as well. They also have soap that Chris loves. He loves their soap. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. It makes an amazing gift as well. If you know somebody that loves skincare, this would make a wonderful gift for them, and it supports believers who run Givaderm. So please go ahead and do that action item. And Century H2O we're going to put up as well. Century H2O is a 5-stage under-the-sink water treatment system. They also have it for your whole house. And they have one you can attach to your hose so your livestock, your horses, your pets can actually get clean, filtered water. Pets can actually develop health issues from water that is tainted or from water sometimes that has too high of a content of certain toxins and minerals. So what this does is it removes harmful toxins. It increases the pH and the installation. It says it's about 15 minutes and the filters last up to 1 year. You could use them in your RV, your apartment, your home. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, give promo code GRACE. Grace 10 for a 10% discount. Cleaner water, far healthier water for you and for your pets. So you can go see all the products they have at Century H2O. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I will be seeing you live again on Thursday for our live Seder. We're very excited about that. Chris will be joining me for the live Seder, so he's going to do the full live Seder with me. We're going to be doing it together, and we will be putting out shorts as well, so please look for them on all our Ark of Grace platforms. We thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. We always want to encourage you in the Word as we go. So we encourage you always to armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. The Word of God is living, active. This is a living, active, breathing book that is current for every generation. Get into the Word. There's so many layers to it. There's so much more to Scripture than just what's on the surface. Also, we have other Psalms there for you as well to encourage you to speak the Word, to meditate on the Word, to get into the habit, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, of speaking it into your day, commanding your day, commanding that spiritual gate of access to your life that comes when you wake up during in the morning. So we want to encourage you to command your day spiritually. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those every evening, actually, before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. And so we should be taking notice of that. There is a reason he taught them that prayer, and he taught them in the order that it is. So please incorporate that into your prayer life. Also, Hebrews 11 as well, incredible chapter on faith, as well as the book of Exodus right now. If you haven't read the book of Esther and the book of Exodus, I implore you to do that in this time, being that we are in the time of Passover, and then we will go through a window to Pentecost. So please look at the book of Exodus again and what Almighty God did for his people and how he truly delivered them and set them free and was always faithful. In the time we're in right now with nations shaking, when we're watching the earth shake, when we're watching all these global events happen, we have to know in our heart and our soul that Almighty God is on the throne, that he is our shepherd. We can come under his wings and take refuge, that his truth in this time, his truth is our shield and buckler. It is our protection. It is our weapons. We should be speaking the unadulterated, fiery truth of Almighty God and his word in this time. So praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we will see you for the live Passover Seder, Thursday, April 2nd, 6 p.m. Keep the faith, everyone. God bless.